This is Take Charge Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist, physician assistant, and Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Listen, learn, and I hope you enjoy the show. Bye!
Welcome back. Welcome back. We're here, and it's a couple days before the New Year. So I'm here with Dr. Moshe Dekel. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yes.
Well, for the New Year.
I know. It's wonderful to look back at what was so dramatic about last year and what we learned last year. And
yes, and how to plan for next year.
Exactly. Exactly. How to plan for next year. And would you like to start, Dr. Dekel?
Of course, and thank you for that. I totally agree with what you just said. I think that coming the end of the year, like in every other field of living and existence and trying to be happy, we need to understand what was good last year, what was bad last year. How do we improve our chances to stay healthy, especially this winter, but throughout the year? And I think that the recent events of this last year taught us a couple of things, and I think that we should discuss it, as you suggested, to kind of have an open book to help our patients and listeners to see, okay, how can we improve and how can we benefit from experience of others and maybe also our own experience. So I think we're going to be on a good journey from here on.
I think so, too. One thing that I want to start out with was last year and half of the year before, it really emphasized to me and to millions of people that there's a need for them to understand health and how to keep themselves and their families healthy, and what they can do to prepare. Because, yes, this year it was COVID and this variant and Omicron and that variant and whatever, and next year it'll be something different. So how can we go about keeping ourselves healthy and ready to deal with the onslaught of medical challenges that we'll encounter?
Of course. And the short answer would be get our immune system in gear every day of the year. This is a short answer, and it's very complex because, as you know, the immune system is the total sum of our current state of health, which means what? What we eat, how we digest, how we assimilate, how we burn, how we create energy, okay, how we eliminate, how we detox, big, big, big word, how we sleep, very important, and also what are we doing with our emotional status and how do we treat emotions and how we look on life and trying to be happy and positive. And it's not easy for the last couple of years, so hopefully the information we're going to give our listeners today would kind of pave the way to a better new year.
Well, I think it's very important to comment on the fact that we've been in a forced isolation all over the world. I mean, this is the second Christmas that our families weren't together because everybody was worried about illness and the possibility of spreading it. And what we're seeing as a result of this is, just like you mentioned, is a sadness and an isolation that makes it very difficult to function. And we're finding, they did a study where young people have no friends. They've now looked to their iPhones and Twitter and the other programs to relate rather than having friends. And that creates an incredible isolation that isn't necessary. And No, it isn't. And I want to bring up something. And I know a young boy that was home from school for 10 days. Why? Because he tested positive for COVID. He had no symptoms. He had no fever. He had no cough. He was breathing fine and running around the house feeling great. And he was kept home for 10 full days, school days. And what we're finding out, and what we knew but we're finding out more so, is that it's not necessary, because asymptomatic people do not spread COVID-19. If you're asymptomatic, you can't spread the virus. And that's a very powerful study that was just recently completed. And it's important for all of us to understand.
If we understand the following, maybe it'll kind of brighten our future.
Mm-hmm.
The lessons that I learned from this experience over the last 2.5 years, number one, we can't trust the authorities to give us the right information, which includes the AMA, the CDC, government in general, and also, of course, the press. The isolation, the lockdown was totally unnecessary. I agree with you 100%. And proof of the pudding is, if you take Sweden, Sweden did not lock down. Sweden had the smallest amount of infected people with COVID, number one, and number two, smallest amount of casualties of death.
But do you know what they
did? We were one of the highest ones, and we're so sophisticated and so advanced in our science, and here we are listening to what they tell us to do because we didn't know better. And again, I don't blame anybody, because they instilled fear in all of us, and unfortunately fear works. The power that be, so how easy it is to control us. So and as it progresses, at least to me personally, it became very evident that this is not about science, this is not about health, this is about control and tyranny. It breaks my heart to say it, but we're talking the truth, at least the way I see it, and we need to take it into consideration from here on. How are we going to address the second one, the third one? I mean, we have a viral season every winter, mainly, but we have it throughout the year. And the mask is a total disaster. They don't work. It's clearly evident. But go to your point, is that we isolated because kids now are used to wearing a mask.
Exactly.
But if you wear a mask, what kind of interhuman connection we have when you wear a mask? I still see people going with a mask. I feel so sorry for them that, you know, just this evening I went to the store, and not just a couple. Down south, it's not too bad, but I see some people still wearing masks. Why? Because they're convinced that if they don't, they'll die. And it's not based on science.
A virus is 1 micron, and the masks filter from 3 microns. So if there's a virus and you're shedding, it goes right through the mask.
That's correct.
But there's something else. You know what Sweden did? Sweden said, if you're sick, stay home. If you're healthy, go out, go to work, go to school. And they did exactly an appropriate way of looking at this virus, understanding that asymptomatic people do not spread the virus. So
not only that, but how about the possibility, the good possibility, that the test was incorrect? The COVID test is far from being accurate. We know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can't really differentiate between a flu and the COVID. Most of them cannot. So you could get a positive for a flu, be negative for COVID simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's right. So the bottom line, in my opinion, is I think it's everybody's duty is to really assess the data available, go to resources they can trust. And we cannot wait until the epidemic is on top of us.
Mm-mm.
Now that there is a peaceful time, viral time, let's say, find the resources that you can trust. And there are some resources. You know, fortunately, I don't need to enumerate them if they're available. But get comfortable with information source that you can rely on, because guess what? This is not going to stop. It's going to continue. It's not with COVID. It's going to be something else. That's nature. Viruses continue to evolve. They continue to mutate. And some of them are going to be more deadly than others. And we have to be prepared. And that's, I think, one of the reasons we're talking today, to tell the audience, well, how can you prepare?
Exactly. That's an important piece, because we know that people with comorbidities, i.e., example, hypertension, diabetes,
heart disease,
obesity, these mm-hmm. are all lifestyle diseases.
Absolutely.
And they don't take a diet. They take a lifestyle shift, which can extend our life, enhance our vitality, enhance our sense of sexuality, and our whole energy shifts, and all these comorbidities go down. And what you need, though, is you need someone to guide you. You need holistic practitioners. You know, when COVID happened, I was one of the only people that I knew of in New York City that stayed open to treat patients.
Mm-hmm.
The rest all closed down. And
right.
I said, how could they do that? Don't they believe in what they stand for? Because
they don't stand for anything anymore.
They should have stood up and begun treating people. Everybody became so frightened that the whole system was shut down. The whole health system. There was no attempt to treat people or teach people how to treat themselves or how to support themselves in their own homes. And I think I said that earlier, but I can't emphasize that enough. We know that vitamin D is essential and important for maintaining health and blocking viruses.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that vitamin A is also.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that fish oils are anti-inflammatories. We know that zinc, although we don't want so much zinc, we want the mm-hmm. right amount of zinc, so
right.
we don't suppress our copper, because copper is an anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. But what is cod liver oil? You've got vitamin D, which protects your immune system. You got vitamin A, natural source, which protects your immune system. And you've got fish oils, natural fish oils, that bring down inflammation and pain. There you are. There are studies that show that there's a probability that vitamin D will extend your life. And there's thousands of studies on vitamin D and how important it is for your system and your body and your immune system, and as an antiviral. It reduces also the risk of chronic diseases, and that's another piece of it. We have these chronic autoimmune diseases, and vitamin D can move in there and reduce the probability of these progressing to worse. And so vitamin D, it's cheap, it's easy, especially if you get it in cod liver oil. Your body really loves it and is able to absorb it. And there's studies with vitamin D and quercetin. And what's quercetin? Quercetin is a nutrient that is an antioxidant, and it's a bioflavonoid. And quercetin acts in multiple ways. It acts to reduce inflammation. It's used in cancer therapies. It's used in allergies. It's incredible for bringing down histamine. There are studies with vitamin D and quercetin against the coronavirus, and they're in PubMed.
Right. I think the numbers show, the study shows that any person who had a vitamin D level of 50 did not die because of COVID.
Oh, yeah.
That should tell you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the problem is the majority of American populations is less than 50. And in my experience with my patients, I can tell you categorically that any person who doesn't take vitamin D is going to be deficient in it.
Mm-hmm.
Even those that are nice and tan, that they think that they are protected, they're not. Because I've seen a lot of patients who are, by definition, by the way you look at them, the way they've been exposed to the sun, they should have good vitamin D, and they do not. So, you know, this epidemic was an epidemic of low vitamin D. Mainly.
Dr. Teitelbaum told us years ago that he did an in-office observational study where everybody who walked in his office in Hawaii took a vitamin D test, and over 60% of the people were deficient in vitamin D.
And that's in Hawaii?
That's in Hawaii.
Yeah, we have probably 330 days a year of sun.
Of sun, yeah. It is good for us to look at our vitamin D levels. And when we look at our vitamin D levels, we should supplement appropriately.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, I find that the majority of my patients will need at least 5,000 units a day. So the 1,000 usually is not enough. Some people take 500. So, again, consult with your holistic practitioner. Take a blood test. It's not a difficult thing to do. Find out where you are. In my book, I like to keep between 75 and 100. I think that's definitely safe, effective, and you need to take supplements in order to get there. But it's a small price to pay to defend yourself from potential disaster.
And it's particularly important in breast cancer and prostate cancer. And one of the first things you should do, if there's any suspicion, is take iodine and take vitamin D for both of those cancers. It's essential.
Well, yeah. And again, you can say the same thing about iodine. If we don't take iodine, or if we don't consume seaweed in a matter of a salad or a nori, which is a dried seaweed, we are going to be deficient.
Mm-hmm.
And iodine kills all bacteria, all viruses, all fungus. Nothing stands against iodine.
Exactly.
And it's not hard to get. It's not hard to administer. It can be done orally, either in capsule form, liquid form. You can put it on the skin, get some off from the skin. You can do it via nebulizer, especially if you have any kind of upper respiratory infection, pneumonia, God forbid, or sinusitis. It works absolutely perfectly. And again, it's a measurable item, okay? And again, I would like to do it in the high normal instead of the low normal or less than normal. Again, it's not an expensive item. And you could do it via nutrition.
Exactly. Through the seaweed. I always get seaweed and I take a piece of it and put it in my soup. So the iodine is being released from the seaweed. The seaweed just disintegrates into the soup. And you're getting iodine in the soup. And we're lucky. We live near the coast, both of us. So if you're buying local from farmers, there should be iodine in the soil just from the wind, from the sea, coming off the sea. The salt from the sea should be giving you natural iodine. And so your vegetables here are higher in iodine than they would be in the center of the country. Exactly.
Again, according to the studies that I read, the soil is so depleted. But, I mean, it's definitely true what you're saying. The question is that enough? And I would venture to say no. I would venture to say that we need supplementation.
Okay.
Or as you said, seaweed. And where you get it, there's still clean seaweed coming up from Maine. Get on the internet. Get it, dried, and you do it whatever you want to do with it.
Yeah, the seaweed from Maine is fabulous, and it's farmed, and it's delicious. You know what I do? I go, and I've told my audience this multiple times, but I go with a rake, and I go down to the beach, and I rake up seaweed, and I get...
No kidding.
Yeah, and I get big bags, trash bags full of it, and then I put it over the top of my garden. And it sits there all
the way. That'll get you iodine.
My vegetables have iodine.
Yeah, not only that, it'll give it a lot of different minerals. Absolutely, it's a great way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought for a second that you're going to eat it. I said, wow, this is pretty courageous.
No, I really haven't done that. But
I haven't either.
Probably could.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to experiment on myself or my patients, but put it in the garden is absolutely a great idea. Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. By the next year, what happens is it all just disintegrates. You can't find any there. The winter just breaks it all up, and then you turn the soil, and it's all in there.
That's right.
And it's funny because there I was raking, and people are going, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And some older lady said, "My mom always used to do that. She'd always come down here and rake the seaweed and bring it to our garden." Full circle.
Well, as you know, the elders usually are smarter than the majority of us.
Well, they were more in touch. They were more in touch with the earth and with themselves also. I also want to bring up sulfur. The sulfur in foods, and one of the most important ones, sulforaphane, which is an extract from broccoli seeds, sprouts.
Right.
Very essential for the immune system, and glutathione. Glutathione protects our lungs anything. And there's all different ways of getting glutathione. And I've got a glutathione spray that I spray on every day and spray under my tongue. So I'm constantly getting daily glutathione, and I swish, and then I swallow. Essential for your health. And when your glutathione is high, your lungs are protected. I also wanted to bring up about hydrogen peroxide. We've been talking about iodine. Did we talk about hydrogen peroxide?
Yes, we can. I think it's definitely an important armament against viruses and bacteria, because hydrogen peroxide kills more or less like iodine. And the way I suggest that my patient to use it is via nebulizer.
Oh, me too.
I suggest they use 3%. It needs to be food grade. So you can get a local pharmacy, but you can get on Amazon. It's very easy. Get your nebulizer. Don't wait until you're sick and you have to add up in emergency room, God forbid. Just get it. It's very easy to have. And the first sign of any kind of upper respiratory or throat, use the mask. 15 drops in the reservoir, use it for about 10-15 minutes, a few times a day, and you're good.
And you can mix that with one or two drops, depending, of iodine, and you've got a slam dunk there. And you breathe it in, you wear your mask, you breathe it in through the nasal passages and also in through your mouth, and you have really, and you take a deep breath so it goes into the lungs, and you have an amazing treatment. It's an amazing treatment for multiple things. One for virus, for bacteria, but also for allergies. I find it very effective for allergies also. This was a treatment that, at least for me, it was brought to us by Dr. Brownstein. And he put it up. He said, don't come to me. Do this in your home. And he put it up on the internet, and he was sent a letter that if he didn't cease and desist, that they would come to his office and close his office down. And he said, I'm not making any money off of this treatment. It's not that I'm making money off of it. I'm just giving my experience with my patients. And they said, no, take it off. Take it off. He had to take it off.
Well, the same thing that they told McCullough, take off his studies on tomography and burst tomography.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, yeah, they wanted to shut him so badly, they still want to shut him. They want to shut him for multiple reasons. Number one, anti-Big Pharma, because Big Pharma doesn't work, unfortunately. But he's also very politically open and vocal. He's registered donor in December of 2022, unfortunately.
Well, there is another subject that we spoke about last week, but it is so shocking that it really got a lot of people's attention that I think it's going to change the attitude of many people. And it's based on a study out of Israel showing that the sperm count has dropped 62% since 1978. And what we're dealing with is the drop is now interfering with fertility and also vitality and increasing risk of cancer, lowering testosterone, lowering lifespan of males. And this is an essential study, a study of 53 different countries. And so it was not small. And they're checking all over the world and seeing this trend. Understanding that we're looking at averages. So the average was 62%. So some were less, but some were more. And that has to be looked at. And I think it's going to change the way people think and understand their health. I think that they will understand that it now becomes their responsibility to make changes and take care of themselves. Because we, individually, are the only ones that can solve this problem in our homes, in our lifestyle. How, Dr. Dekel, how did it get so low? I'll give you my theory after you tell
me. Yeah. How long do we have? I'll try to be short on that. I think it's multiple reasons. I think a lot of it has to do with the environment. Toxicity that's out there, the 100,000 chemicals that we've been exposed to, pesticides. I mean, everything is now, you know, either glyphosate or pesticides, unless it's really true organic. The problem is that it's more expensive, and the majority of people have a hard time really consuming organic. Yeah, it doesn't kill us right away, but it definitely decreases lifespan, okay? Interferes with sperm count, interferes actually with probably, and there's no real true measure way to measure it, but whatever the sperm is sensitive to, the eggs are sensitive to also. So whatever affects the sperm will affect the eggs, and therefore, you know, fertility, depending on who you eat now, is probably 20%. Reaching 20%, that's a lot.
No.
That's a lot. And lifestyle is another one. Inflammation is another one. Lack of good nutrition is another one. the lack of detoxification, elimination. You know, and again, it's a whole topic on its own. But you know, the what considered to be normal back in 1980, which was not that far ago, long ago, a normal sperm count for male, healthy male, 200 million per cc, and now it's 20 million per cc is considered, you know, a decent sperm count. But we're talking about tenfold.
And that's
it's a big decrease. And it will continue, unfortunately,
if we don't do something about it. And I think it's such a shocking statistic that I think it's getting people's attention. And one of the things that I think people will be looking to is detox, but it's not any old detox. Like I think I'll stop eating for 3 days, and I will detox. No, that's not appropriate any longer. The understanding of detox is going to be very important, and it's going to be a controlled and directed detox. And so let's look at a few things. Number one, we want to eliminate toxic exposures. We start by just eliminating, and we can do that. You know, I get a lot of organic foods at Costco. So those are not more expensive. As a matter of fact, they're cheaper than going to the corner store. They're one of the largest distributors of organic food in the nation. And I'm constantly finding as they're increasing their products that are organic, I'm constantly finding new foods there. So number one would be to eliminate toxic exposures. The other is removal of toxic metals from the body as best we can. And we can do that with lipoic acid and selenium. Those bind onto toxic metals and draw them out of the body. And we can adjust our diet and adjust our lifestyle. And like we said, you know, all these soda pops and sugars really limiting, if not completely eliminating them for yourself and for your family. Not just for you, for everybody in your household, because everybody will benefit. And then, you said it, gut microbiome can perform amazing biochemical reactions that draw toxins out of the body. We can support that process by eating fermented foods. And, exactly. And then also fibers and fibrous vegetables and some fruits, which are very essential. You really can't begin to detox until you can, if you're constipated, I wouldn't start on a detox, because you're just going to dump toxins into your gut and they're not going to be eliminated. You're going to reabsorb them. Before you begin to detox, you have to get your bowels moving. And you can do that with ox bile. You can do it with enzymes, appropriate enzymes, and you can do it with fibers, and you can do it with fluids, liquids. And that's the next thing, is being sure that you're adequately hydrated. So there are nutrients also that support this and support detox. And we mentioned one of them, sulforaphane. Very important for detox, and it's found in broccoli and brassica family vegetables. And nutrients, again, is glutathione, one of the most important. We now have learned that glutathione can break up glycophate, and your body can then remove it. I was taught that once you get glycophate in your body, it's not you're not able to detox it. But what they're finding is that glutathione, B vitamins, N-acetylcysteine, and calcium D-glucuric, which supports the liver, all act to break up the glyphosates and pull them out of your body. Well, there's lots more. Antioxidant, and working with someone who can direct you correctly to the different forms of detox and can give you support.
That's right. Well, you know, we all have five elimination channels. We spoke about the liver, the gut, the skin, the kidneys, and the lungs. These are the only way to eliminate toxicity. And so the gut is a major part of it. And, of course, everything we just spoke about, how to eat, what to eat, how to digest, is a major part of it. The liver, again, N-acetylcysteine is absolutely fine. A couple of more natural foods, cilantro, chlorella.
Oh, yes.
Also very effective in doing that. EDTA, again, heavy metals should be checked. It can be a home kit that can be done through Doctor's Data and some other labs that can be done through a holistic practitioner. And if you do have high level of metals, heavy metals, then we need to use chelation. And chelation can be done by taking chelators by mouth and or via intravenous.
Mm-hmm.
Kidneys, as you mentioned, is hydration. Hydration, mm-hmm. hydration. We just don't drink enough.
No, we don't.
I always have to remind myself and drink. Because the thing is, the average person drinks when they feel thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by the time we feel thirsty, we're already dehydrated. And even a 3% dehydration, just 3%, which is nothing much, will affect cellular activity, cellular capacity, and ability to function correctly. So, you know, we need to consume about half our body weight in ounces. So somebody's 150 pounds, you're talking about 75 ounces. Blood, you know, it's pretty high for the average person.
Mm-hmm. That's
but let's start with something.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Go on.
And again, for the skin, is the good old-fashioned 5,000-year-old sauna, sweating.
Exactly.
All cultures, all the way from Chinese to Greeks, to Romans, to Native Americans, to Europeans, are doing it.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for it.
And that's an incredible detoxer. Sweat is an incredible detoxer. And the body releases so many toxins when we sweat. So if we've got a cold or a flu, getting into a sauna with a big glass of vitamin C and taking some B vitamins, particularly niacin, you're going to really sweat and you're going to feel fabulous afterwards. You will have released a large number of toxins that you weren't able to get out.
Right. As far as the liver is concerned, which is also a major detox organ, the easiest way to do it is home coffee enema. We haven't discussed it. We've talked about many different conversations over the years. But again, I encourage the listeners to research coffee enema. I know it sounds crazy, but look at the data. Look at the data, and, you know, it's not a bad idea to do a New Year's resolution and say, you know what, I want my liver to be functional. I want to protect my immune system and protect my health, slow down the aging process, increase my energy, just to name a few. And if I can do this at home, at minimal cost, why not? The protocols are widely available. It's not hard to do. Doesn't take that long. And it's simple and works.
Yes, It's simple and it works. So that's one thing that we don't really want to create a New Year's resolution that sits on a shelf. We want to start piece by piece. One thing that we can do with a degree of regularity will start to change your life. And when you feel solid in that thing that you're doing, add something else and make it easy. So now it's two things that you're doing, and you're increasing your credibility to yourself. How many times do we make promises to ourselves? I'm going to start a diet tomorrow, or I'm going to be this weight by next year, and we look up and it's next year, and we aren't. And what happens is the more that that happens, we lose our own sense of being able to believe in ourselves to make our life or our health happen. But if you start with something slow, start with lemon water. A big glass of lemon water the first thing in the morning. Very, very beneficial. And you do that every day for a week, and then add something else. Maybe get cilantro and chop it up and put it over your salads. And so now you've got two forms of detoxing and cleansing going. And you're detoxing metals there. You're adding antioxidants, and you're enhancing your hydration. And lemons are very good for your liver to get this whole process going. So,
and keeps us alkaline.
And keeps what? I'm sorry?
Keeps us alkaline.
Exactly. And so you've begun, and then you add something else. And you will build, and you'll build healthy habits, and you'll find yourself feeling better. I want to talk about gratitude also. The importance of gratitude and being thankful. Thankful for what we have. Thankful for our ability to create change. Thankful for our friends and our family and our lives. You know, my mother was 100 years old, and she just died a month ago. And she was the most bright, alert. I had her on the radio asking her, how did you make it to 100? And she was talking about, well, I love to read. I love to learn. I exercise. And she went on and on and on. And she also said, I love my family.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
a pretty much a slam dunk when you can appreciate the life around you. And that's what we want to do. We want to go there. And we don't want to drudge our way to good health. We want to enjoy our way to good health. Laugh our way and share it with those around us, because being grateful, enjoying your life. One time I told this woman who came into me, I used to see a lot of pregnant women, and she came into me, and I said, and I gave her the nutrients that that were appropriate for her time in pregnancy. And then I wrote something down. I said, this, I got to write on a prescription slip, and I want you to take this every day. And I wrote down on the slip, laugh every day. And I handed it to her, and she started laughing, and she shared it with her husband, and she put it on her refrigerator, and she said it was the best advice that I had gotten in my pregnancy. She said, because She said her baby is so calm and so happy, and she really feels that that laughing created that.
That's right.
And she said it made such a happy pregnancy for myself and my husband. Mm-hmm. It was just wonderful. So, folks out there, I really want to recommend, you know, it's the old saying, fake it till you make it. If you have to fake it, it's okay. Your body doesn't know the difference. But we want you to laugh every day, absolutely every day. And you could do a belly laugh. And once you start laughing, it changes the chemicals in your brain. And you just feel better. You feel better throughout the day. Dr. Deckel?
Well, you touched upon a very important subject, which is our emotionalities and our feelings, our emotions. And again, with the isolation you just spoke about, it's hard to express or share emotions with others. Then we'll have to learn how to actually deal with it ourselves and make sure that we try our best to stay away from drama. It's just amazing how devastating, how dangerous this doom and gloom and fear, the global warming, the world is going to end tomorrow, the hunger is coming. If we don't have electric cars tomorrow, everybody's going to die. We have 12 years, and then we die. I mean, this is, people have no idea the importance of their words, especially their politicians or figures that people listen to. And they just talk up their ear, and fear is palpable. And fear is counterintuitive and contradicting health. We continuously in fight or flight. Cortisol is up. Cortisol affects the immune system negatively and opens up to infection. Cortisol is increasing adiposity, fat around the middle. Okay, cortisol is increasing blood sugar and therefore possible diabetes. Increases osteoporosis. And this fight or flight is, in my opinion, one of the strongest catalysts to rapid aging and lack of health.
It was interesting because I heard a study, where do you think, on the news, but that actually a comedy show. When I can't sleep, I wake up in the middle of the night and I listen to comedy shows. Mm-hmm. And some of them are brilliant. The insight that these people have, they can look at a situation and they can shift it so that you see it differently. I'm just totally impressed. I think some of the smartest people around right now are the comedians. So they talked about the fact that Democrats believed that 55 to 65% of all the people that caught COVID were then hospitalized. Republicans believed that 30% of the people that caught COVID were hospitalized, 25 to 30%. Mm-hmm. And the reality is it's less than 5%. This was at peak epidemic. It's less than 5%. It was more like 3% of the people. So they have gotten us so terrified, we're afraid to walk out the door. I saw a guy riding his bicycle with his mask on.
That's right. Going for a ride with their dog. Next thing you know, they're going to put a mask on a dog.
Exactly. Well, you know how many cases of COVID we've found in puppy dogs.
Yeah. So, no, it's absolutely right. It's going back to being appreciative of what we have, because, again, comparing ourselves to the rest of the world, we are pretty good, even though we have a lot to improve upon. But hey, how about being, Thanksgiving just was yesterday, right? How about being thankful for what we got? And be appreciative of it and acknowledge the fact that we're, you know, we have the freedom to, you know, to do what we want to do, to excel, to search for our life mission, to help others, but to take care of ourselves. One of the most intriguing answers to a question that I have to my patients who come to me with diagnosis of cancer, and I tell them, you know, cancer is also a lesson, and I watch them nodding their head, yes, you're right. So when I ask them, okay, so what is your lesson? All of them, men, women alike, tell me, I need to take care of myself. And I say, you're absolutely right. Because a lot of cancer diagnosis is happening to people who what? Who take care of everybody else. The mother, the father, the sister, the brothers, the kids, and everybody they know.
But
they
themselves.
Spend their energy to the point that they have nothing left until we get cancer. And now they say, okay. And I said, oh, great, so now you know what the lesson is. So let me tell you, once you learn the lesson, there's no need for a lesson anymore. So that's very, very important, in addition to laughter, which oxygenates, which is the number one enemy of cancer is what? Oxygen. So that would be my take on that.
Well, my goodness. An hour has gone by, and I want to... Did you bring your champagne? I brought mine, so...
Well, I have a couple bottles, yes, and definitely, you know, a glass of champagne to bring the new year, and definitely a good idea.
Yes, definitely. So I'll pop the cork, and we can have a glass together, and I wish you a very, very... Happy New Year, and all the listeners, Happy New Year. Dr. Deckel, could you give us your phone number?
Sure. The phone number is 843-422-8328, and you can find me on the internet, drdeckel.com, drdeckel.com. Very easy to find. Just research Dr. Deckel, or even holistic medicine. Especially in the New York area, you're going to find me. So again, I want to join you in wishing everybody a great new year, great health, great happiness.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. You can hear this program in its entirety on my Facebook, Corinne Fornari, RPA, CCN, or on Take Charge of Your Health Facebook page, Take Charge of Your Health. My website is fornarihealth.com, and my office number is 212-219-0700. That's 212-219-0700. And I know many of you noticed that beautiful music, a big change. My brother's group wrote it for me. Left Hook from Redding, California. Really special. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Get rid of fear. And just, you know, just find what you want to do and just do it. Don't listen to doom and gloom.
Find your passion.
It's a great new world. Just go and do it.
Find your passion. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We'll see you next year.
And hug your family for me. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. You can hear this program in its entirety on my Facebook, Corinne Fornari, RPA, CCN, or on Take Charge of Your Health Facebook page, Take Charge of Your Health. My website is fornarihealth.com, and my office number is 212-219-0700. That's 212-219-0700. And I know many of you noticed that beautiful music, a big change. My brother's group wrote it for me. Left Hook from Redding, California. Really special. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.